You would turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're continuing our study on Sunday evenings on the subject matter, after His kind. Last week we looked at Christian reproduction, how God changes hearts and that we're born of the Spirit, washed in the blood. And it's not according to man's will or his power, but it's according to the power of God. And like produces like. So He creates in us a new nature that is like unto His nature. That in it, it's called the new man, enabling us to respond to the gospel immediately and believe that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. But God has to bring that life to us, enabling us to repent and believe. And then, of course, the entire work of sanctification is His work in us, conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of the Spirit on the new nature and by the power of the Word of God. Now, today we're going to look at another aspect to this principle of after His kind, like producing like. Now, I've been talking while you were turning, and I should have been turning and talking. Not many preachers can do that. And I'm one of them. I can't. I can talk, but I can't turn. If I'm turning, I'm not talking. But I'm there now. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want to deal with the Christian home, because I think this principle applies there. I'm going to quote a portion of a verse. It's the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which deals a lot with marriage. God, He ends that chapter with this little phrase. God commands His children to marry only in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 7:39. Now, from the human responsibility perspective, and by the way, I believe God is sovereign, but He's given us commands to follow. It's our responsibility to live according to the Word of God. You have no right to rebel against God, to rebel against His Word. People say, well, preacher, I'm free. I got Christian liberty. Not liberty to sin. Not liberty to rebel. Not liberty to be wicked. We're free. Christian liberty, the essence of it, if you understand Romans 6, it's all about freedom to serve, to bring forth fruit that honors God. That's where real liberty is. It's not in doing what we want to do. And this thing, it aggravates me so much when people say, well, I think you just ought to do what makes you happy. Hey, there's a lot of things that make people happy that will make you sinful too. It's not about our happiness. Rather, do that which glorifies God. And when you're walking with Him, I guarantee you, you won't only be happy, you'll be joyful. When you walk in the Spirit and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, from the human responsibility perspective, Christians will not raise up a godly seed from the human perspective, children who are mighty in spirit, if they're unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's a principle. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. It's stated clearly in the New Testament. It says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 2, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." He's laying down a principle. I want you to marry after your kind. Jews were to marry Jews. Now I've got a sermon series that I'm going to do. It's probably going to make everybody mad. And that's okay. Because I don't worry about... I got to preach what the Lord states in the Word of God. There's no prohibition here about race. None whatsoever. The prohibition is don't marry the heathen. Don't be unequally yoked. It's a spiritual principle. It has nothing to do with skin tone. Doesn't even have anything to do with culture. It had to do with don't marry somebody that's going to cause you to worship false gods. Don't be an idolater. That's what he's telling them. That's clearly the principle. Now, there's always exceptions to the rule. And I understand that. Usually when I preach a sermon like this, somebody inevitably is going to say, "But now I know so-and-so, they married a lost person, they're happily married, their kids turned out great." That's the exception to the rule. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I'm not really dealing with exceptions tonight. I'm dealing with what God's Word says. If you want to produce after your kind in the Christian realm, marry only in the Lord. The principle of marrying only in the Lord, if you violate that, I don't know what the statistics are, but be honest with you, statistics today are horrible when it comes to marriage. Listen, you don't marry in the Lord, you're increasing your chances of inviting chaos into your life. And sometimes it ends in divorce, rebellious children who are hurt, broken. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard on kids. Now, I'm not going to get into the controversy of Genesis 6. I'll tell you what I believe. I don't believe that angels mated with women. Okay? I don't believe that. Now, I know men that are godly men, love the Lord to believe that. But angels neither marry nor are given in marriage. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how you look at what went on in Genesis chapter 6, it was wrong. When wicked men, or the sons of God, married wicked women, chaos resulted. And you look at what happened right after that, the judgment of the flood. You ever think about that? Because they weren't doing what God said. Another example, Solomon's heart. I marvel. These are things that are beyond me. I can't wrap my mind how God chooses somebody like Solomon to impart all this wisdom and inspire him by the Holy Spirit to write some of the greatest truth and exhortations and instruction in all the Bible. I love the book of Proverbs. And yet he violated so many commands that he wrote about regarding ungodly women. Well, the conclusion that I've come to, other than God does what He wants, when He wants, how He wants, and He uses who He wants. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. So if God wants to use a man like Solomon with all of his frailties, all of his iniquities, that's His business. And I submit to it. I trust God. He knows His purpose. I don't fully understand it. I'm a poor sinner. I'm asking God, give me some light on this. And the only thing I can come up with is God is showing us that even the frailest of men, God can use. Say what? He was strong in spirit. At times He was. But He had a major weakness, and it was women. To the tune of 1,000. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Again, as far as I'm concerned, Solomon, he was an idiot when he did that. He was rebelling against God's Word. One is enough. And that's what God says in His Word. Now, but what happened? Solomon's heart was turned away from the Lord because he was unequally yoked with lost women. 1 Kings 11:1 and verse 4 says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women." It says he loved them. It was probably more like lust. "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. The apostasy of Israel in part came about because of Solomon being unequally yoked, setting a bad example, and his sons followed in his train. They also lived like that." Now, not to the extent that Solomon did, but they were violating this principle of like begetting like. Now maybe somebody like Gavin or Simon or Ezra or Emma, maybe they're thinking, "Well, I ain't going to be that way for me. It won't matter who I marry. I'll win my lost girlfriend or boyfriend to the Lord." That's the wrong answer. You may have all the good intentions in the world, but it's never right to do wrong and go against the commandment of the Lord. And you young people, I'll say it again so that they'll look at me. Simon, Ezra, Emma, Gavin, I'm telling you, you better think about your future. If you marry somebody that's not saved, that doesn't love Jesus, that doesn't want to go to church, that doesn't want to read the Bible and pray and live right and do right, it's going to harm you. It's going to bring trouble to your life. What happens is when saved people, saved men, young men and women, marry lost men and women, they're not going to support you in your service to the Lord. In fact, They may even have an effect of dragging you down. You say, well, how can that be? I'm such a strong believer. I love the Lord. I love His Word. Well, it's because you still have that sinful nature that they have. And a lot of times it's real easy just to give in. To go along, to get along. Hey, I'm about 65. I know I don't look a day over 45. But I'm about 65. I've been around the block. I've seen a lot of marriages. I'm telling you this. Marry in the Lord. To save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of arguments, a lot of bad feelings and disappointments. I know what I'm talking about. And this stuff can harm you and hurt you the rest of your life. It can leave scars on you if you don't marry in the Lord. Let me give you some examples. Here's what happened. When you have somebody saved and somebody lost in the same home, you're going to be divided into two camps. One of darkness, one of light. And it'll cause confusion and turmoil in young children. Perhaps you believe in biblical discipline of children, but your lost spouse does not. All right? That's major. Because you're probably going to raise a brat that doesn't obey, doesn't respect authority. Listen, kids, now, here's another thing. People will often say, now, I never, ever had to discipline my children. Little Dougie and Zachary, were such good boys. I never had to ever spank them at all. How many times have you heard John Bill say that? Not once, Doug. Never heard him say it. You get a saved and a lost spouse. One of them doesn't believe in discipline. You're going to have problems. And there's going to be confusion in the home. What about going to church? You want to go to church? You want to take your children to church? Your lost spouse doesn't want to go to church. And they'll find ways to keep you from taking the kids to church. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm smart. I've seen it. I know by experience, and I believe God's Word. If somebody as wise as Solomon could have his heart turned away from God through the influence of ungodly women, don't be so arrogant to think that it can't happen to you. Now, without the protection of the Lord, how can you be sure that your unsaved spouse, who seems to be nice now, won't wax worse and worse in sin, setting a bad example for your children and making your life miserable? Please consider these facts before you enter into the union that the Lord has warned against. Simon, Gavin, Emma, Ezra, you have no excuse now. I've told you the truth. It's your responsibility, if you're a saved person, to marry only in the Lord. Now let's look at some verses. You see, it never pays to forsake the principles of God's Word. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Proverbs 13:13. 2 Corinthians, the separation passage. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's what you're getting into. God calls us to separation from that. Don't be unequally yoked with them. That's the Word of God. Now, like I said, I know that there are exceptions. I've seen them. I've seen happily married people who one of them was saved, the other wasn't. The lost man came to church. The lost man came to church faithfully. They raised their children in church. Their children were saved. You know what? Let's, instead of calling that an exception, let's just say it's the mercy of the Lord that He worked that out that way. Because I'm telling you what, two saved people have enough problems as husband and wife raising children in the day and age in which we live. Now, in the Christian home, again, like produces like. Saved parents have the responsibility to train their children in the ways of godliness, virtue, character, and the fear of the Lord. Now, we can't save the souls of our children, but we can train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I tell this to parents all the time. Little eyes are watching you. They're watching everything you do. They're hearing everything you say. They are observing everywhere you go or you don't go. Your kids. And they're going to copy a lot of what you do. Do you read the Word of God with them? Do you memorize Scripture? Do you pray? Do you go to the house of God? And when you come to the house of God, are you prepared? Are you rejoicing? Are you glad to be there? It's going to leave an impression on your children. It's part of training them. Deuteronomy 6 lays down the principle that every day you've got to be aware of this fact that you are imprinting the Christian life and the truth of the Word of God on your children. Every day. And children are often the reflection of their parents. By the example we set before our children, we're producing after our kind, whether it's good or bad. Are you disrespectful of authority? Then you know what? Don't be surprised if your kids are disrespectful to you. Are you lazy? Don't be surprised if you raise kids that won't hit a lick. Are you undisciplined? Don't be surprised if in time your kids don't discipline their own lives. What I'm trying to tell you is, you and I have to raise our kids in such a manner that we're imprinting on them, implanting in them the fear of the Lord, a love of the Word of God, a desire to do what's right, and to live right. I want them to be good Christians. I want them to be good citizens. I wanted my kids to learn how to work. And I don't believe in giving kids something for nothing. Never forget when Josh went off to college. He called me one day. He said, "Dad, yeah, I need this scientific calculator. I'm up here at Ohio State. I'm doing chemical engineering. And I need this high and mighty scientific calculator. Can you buy me one?" I said, "Nope." I said, "I'll tell you what I can do. When are you coming home again?" He said, "Well, we're planning on coming home next week." I said, "Okay." I said, "You can mow." That's back when I was mowing the church grass some. "You can mow the church grass and you can detail my car." You know what he did? He didn't squawk. He didn't say, "What a rotten parent. How could you do this to me, Daddy?" He didn't do that. He obeyed. He was out of my house. He was 20 years old. But he did what was right. And he got a scientific calculator. Now, I'm not against helping your kids out. I believe in helping them out. Teach them to work. Because otherwise, they're going to grow up like a bunch of kids in the colleges today who think they're entitled to everything. That the government owes them everything. Listen, the government owes you nothing. You're responsible. And I taught my kids, do your best, your dead level best, to always provide for yourself and for your family. After his kind. Well, this is how I taught my kids. This is how me and Tammy covenanted together. We raised our kids in church. Now you say, well, it doesn't always turn out just the way. I know that. But it's not our fault. You see, when you're doing what's right, and you're training your children, and you're putting the Word of God in them, and you're praying for their souls, and you're providing a good example, you're saying like Solomon said to his son, "Son, give me thine eyes, observe my ways." And you live right before them. It's on them. It's on them to do what's right. I know I always say when Josh does a lesson or something, this is my son. I'm grateful to God for him. That he serves the Lord. Now you say, but preacher, he got a lot of flaws. Alan was talking about this the other day. No, he wasn't. I'm just kidding. I don't want to give you a phobia, Josh. Really, I haven't heard anybody say too much bad about you. But you know what? Through all the ups and downs of his life, I've seen him. You know what? He's been steady. He's been faithful to God. When people say, well, let me tell you about my son. He's an attorney. He's going to be a senator. He has a 7,000 square foot home and two built-in pools, one indoor, one outdoor. He's got a 7-car garage filled with all the nicest of vehicles. Great, man. I'm glad for all that. I'll take my son over yours any day because he's saved. Because he wants to follow the Lord. Because you know what? Now, again, I'm not against people having things. But your life should not be caught up in things. It ought to be spent serving the Lord. Don't raise children that are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Because if you're doing that, they're going to model your behavior. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe that promise. Do what's right. This is God's way. Marry in the Lord. And I'll go one step further. Do your dead level best to marry somebody that believes what you believe. I'm a Baptist. When it comes time for me to get married, I started praying, God, listen, here's how it is. I've got to have a woman that believes the truth about the doctrine of grace, about the Lord's church, about Christian living, and who wants to serve the Lord all the days of her life. That's how I prayed. And I said, make her pretty. I always put that right on the end. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary. And I thank God. Oh yeah, we've had our ups and downs. But I wouldn't trade this Christian life with my wife and my kids for anything. Keep following the Lord. And men, you got to teach these things. You got to model them before your children. Because we're living in a day and age when young men don't know how to treat young ladies. They don't know how to be respectful. And a lot of the dating that goes on is all about popularity and looks. I'll tell you something, girls get all, oh, he's so cute. He just, oh, he's so wonderful. Like I said, I told Katie when she was young, I said, you know, yeah, you may think they're a hunk right now. They get to be about 35, and they usually turn into chunks. And if they ain't saved, it's even worse. Well, she married the skinniest guy she could find. And Dean is a good Christian man. But when they were married, neither one of them were saved. So what do? We just prayed for them. And God saved them. Now they're raising their children with the Word of God. Like produces like. It'll save you a world of heartache and trouble if you just follow God's pattern. Now next week, oh, I can't wait to sink my teeth into this one. Church reproduction. How is the Lord's church perpetuated? Same principle. Like begets like. After His kind. We'll get into that next week, God willing. Let's all stand.